Good morning. You may be seated. All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Michael, and it's my pleasure this morning to provide the message. And we've been doing this summer Sermon in the Bag. And so I discovered last week that in the bag for this week, of which I had to prepare a message, was Woody from Toy Story. And, you know, I was sitting right over there, and Pastor Henry pulled it out and said, Woody from Toy Story. And I thought, yes! That's my favorite Disney character, at least one of them. One of my favorite Disney characters. So Woody's going to help us this morning, and Henry talks about the parables of the Sermon in the Bag. So this morning it's going to be a little bit of the parable of Woody a bit. And we're going to talk about Toy Story. And I can't ever look at Woody or see the movie or hear the name and not think of that song. Do you know it? Do you know it? Raise your hand if you know it. All right, so you're going to come up and sing it then for us. I'm just kidding. just kidding. You've got a friend, right? You've got a friend. And as I thought about Woody and Toy Story and You've Got a Friend in Me, I thought, man, there are so many opportunities to share about this. And so I talked to Henry, and we decided that because there's so much to share on this, that the first part of the sermon will be at the 9 o'clock service. And then the exciting conclusion will be at the 10:30 service. So you're welcome to come back. I'm just kidding. So you've got a friend. You've got a friend. And what to Scripture, because there's so many verses in Scripture about friendship, and there are things that we likely think or know or think we know about friendship. And so it's always good to center ourselves in Scripture. But before we get to the Scripture reading, I want to just highlight a couple of lines from that song, You've Got a Friend. Here are a couple of lines in that song. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said, you've got a friend in me. How about this one? You've got troubles, I've got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together and see it through because you've got a friend in me. Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am, bigger and stronger too maybe, but none of them will ever love you the way I do. You've got a friend in me. And it goes on and on. And those are all really, really comforting words in that song when we talk about friendship. And so we think, boy, what does friendship mean to us, right? I think if I were to ask you, what are some descriptors of a friend? Maybe loyalty, that might be one. Friend is loyal. Maybe a friend is someone that celebrates with you in the highs, right? The high times of life, they're there. In joyous occasions like baptisms, friends are there, right? And they're with you no matter what. And then in the low times, they're there to walk alongside you, put their arms around you. It's going to be okay. Your friends are there to encourage you on your best days. And on your worst days, they're there to remind you of what you were like on your best days, right? Those are friends. Those are friends. And so those are the kind of things that we think about. We all know that we've got human friends, right? And unfortunately, we are scarred as humans with sin. And so all of those descriptions are nice and wonderful, but we also know that as human beings, we fall short of some of the expectations that we have, not only of ourselves as friends, but as friends to us. And so let's go to Scripture. We're gonna look at three Scripture verses this morning. The first one is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. That's the first one. So Peter is writing this letter, and as he's writing it within the context of moving towards end times. How do we behave? How do we interact with each other as we move through life? That's what Peter is writing about here. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, he says this. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So we're going to talk about 1 Peter chapter 4 here for a couple of minutes and how that applies to friendship, how we might see that played out in our lives. And so Woody in Toy Story is like the ultimate friend, right? He's always there for the other toys. He's there making sure no toy is left behind. He's there to make sure all the toys are safe. Ultimately, it's to let Andy, because Woody is Andy's toy, to make sure that Andy has his toys. So there's a lot playing into friendship with Woody. So these are the three things that we see from Scripture we're going to talk about. One, love earnestly. Two, show hospitality without grumbling. And three, use gifts to serve others. So let's start with love earnestly. As Christians, as people of God in community together, how do we love earnestly? Well, in researching this scripture, I read a lot of commentaries. And one commentary said this: Christians ought to love one another, which implies an affection to their persons, a desire of their welfare, and a hearty endeavor to promote it. So not only I love my friend, but a desire for their welfare and to promote their healthy welfare. This mutual affection must not be cold, but fervent, sincere, strong, and lasting. And why? And why? I love this. Because love is the animating spirit. Let's say it again. Love is the animating spirit without which all other duties are dead. Love is the animating spirit. It's what we do for with each other, and it's the animating spirit without which all other duties are dead, right? So you can say that, oh yeah, I love my friend, or you can show that, right? You can say it, or you can show it. And love is that animating spirit. And certainly, you know, Woody, how many Toy Stories are there? 8 or 9? No, four. There's four. And in every Toy Story movie, Woody demonstrates how he's going to love the other toys. He's going to be there at the end. He's going to make sure that no toy is left behind. That love, earnestly for us, requires us to have some type of example, some type of model. Because in order to love earnestly, we have to know what that looks like. I think you know where I'm going with this one. There's that perfect example for us in the Bible, because Jesus loved us unconditionally, and while we were yet sinners, while we didn't deserve that love, while we certainly didn't deserve all of the love that he gave us or his life, he laid it down for us. He chose that. He became the animation of love for us, and that model in the Bible for us is one that persists each and every time we go and read Scripture, God's love for us. So love earnestly with Jesus as an example. How about this second one? Show hospitality without grumbling, right? They have to put all that in there. Show hospitality without grumbling. You know, in the first Toy Story, when Woody is introduced to Buzz Lightyear, right? The cool toy, Buzz Lightyear. And Buzz wants to demonstrate that he can fly. Do you remember this? Remember this? Buzz is going to fly. And in the scene in that movie, it looks as though Buzz is flying. He goes down the racetrack, and he's up, and people are like, wow. And what does Woody say? That's not flying. That's falling with style, right? That's falling with style. That's not flying. I'm not sure that Woody is the best demonstration for us about how to give hospitality without grumbling, because he feels threatened, right? He feels threatened by this new toy. Woody is the guy for Andy. And Buzz enters the scene, and now all of a sudden, there might be somebody else. And so showing hospitality, bringing that other person into our group, well, that can be hard sometimes, because this is the way we do it. And as long as you're willing to come in and be a part of us in the way we do it, come on in. But if you're going to replace, or if you're going to challenge, or if you're going to show maybe where we might have an opportunity to improve, you're not flying, you're falling with style. And I think sometimes when new people enter into our lives or when we enter into a new situation, there's that tension. There's that pecking order. There's that, hey, I want to make sure that the self-preservation I've been able to maintain, I can do this, I'm comfortable here, this is what we do, this is who we are, and I fight hard for that, but we don't always recognize the person on the other side. How do we show hospitality without grumbling? Well, here's what one commentator said, and I find this very interesting. It says, without grumbling is a frank recognition that the practice of hospitality could become costly. The practice of hospitality could become costly, burdensome, and irritating. No. Costly, burdensome, irritating. Those are words that are the exact opposite of showing hospitality, right? But again, our human condition, the sin that plagues us, the way in which we sometimes put up walls and it becomes, yeah, I should go over and invite that person. I should go over and do this. I should go over and do that. But I don't know. Burdensome, irritating. And it goes on to say, you know, the hospitality that we show, that Christ calls us to, is really the entertaining of those that need it. The entertaining of those that need it. You know, God puts people in our lives all the time, and it's not a mistake. It's not a coincidence. God puts people in our lives all the time. And it could be that at those times, we're entertaining those people that really need it, that God is putting in our midst to do that. Whether that's here in a congregation, whether that's in our daily lives, whatever that is. But friends, show hospitality without grumbling and entertain those that need it. Love earnestly. Show hospitality without grumbling. Here's the third one. Use gifts to serve others. And we'll go back to Scripture because it says this. Verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each has received a gift. I want to stop there because I think that's really important for us to understand. As each has received a gift, which means you've got at least one. Each has received a gift. You've got them. God's given them to you. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. I've never heard it put this way before about gifts, but I really like it. And it changed my thinking a ton. It says this, the gifts that God gives us are the common property of the Christian community. The gifts that God gives us are the common property of the Christian community, which means that as I have it, God wants me to share it. That the community isn't the community unless I'm sharing it. Now, again, it doesn't come from us. We have a hard time sharing sometimes, right? We have a hard time sharing sometimes, hard time recognizing what our gifts are and sharing them confidently. But God has given us the gifts to share. It is a part of the Christian community, and the community is stronger when we use the gifts that God has given us. And what a wonderful way for us to think about the way in which God gave us a gift, because now it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about the gift that I have. It's about sharing that gift so the community recognizes and points to whom? To Christ. Points to God, celebrates the gifts that God has given to the community and uplifts each other and encourages each other to use those gifts all the time. So I ask you, what's your gift? What is it? And how do we share that? And how is the community stronger because of it? Many of you know that I used to play basketball. And I relate a lot of things in life to growing up, being on teams and playing basketball, all that kind of stuff. And as I was growing up and as I was on different teams, I recognized what my gifts were, and more painfully, I recognized what my gifts weren't, in basketball particularly. And in a team concept, when everybody is using their gifts, man, it's great. If your gift is to pass, pass it. If it's not to shoot, don't shoot it. Right? If it's not shooting, don't shoot it. Because if you're trying to use a gift that isn't yours, you're taking that away from a gift that somebody is has the gift of shooting, right? If my gift is to pass it to the guy that can shoot. Now, coaches sometimes make it very clear what your gift is and what your gift isn't. A good coach does anyways, right? A good coach does. Because a good coach allows you to grow and strengthen the team because of your gifts. And friends, I think, are good coaches in life, because I think friends, if we're honest and we're good friends, can come up alongside somebody and say, you know what? Wow, I saw you do this. That's a real gift of yours. That's a real gift of yours. I want to encourage you to continue to use that gift and to do that, because our community is stronger when you use the gift that God has given you. I see it in you, and I thank God because of it. And I would challenge us that no matter where we are, that we see the gifts in other people that God has given them and then encourage them to use those gifts for the good of the Christian community and for the sake of moving forward the gospel and for the sake of Jesus. Finally, in this particular using gifts, I want to read a commentary about this particular section of Scripture. The idea is that if we are bad stewards of the manifold of grace of God, the gifts he's given us, it is as if that grace was given to us in vain. That grace is wasted because it only comes to us and doesn't move through us. Manifold grace is many-colored grace. As when a ray of light breaks into a spray of many hues, so each of us receives God's grace at a different angle and flashes it back, broken up into some fresh color. Wow. God shines through you. And as that light hits your heart and flashes into the community, it all hits us at a different angle, and those gifts shine. And they shine because of what Jesus did for us, because it starts and is generated from him. Love earnestly. Show hospitality without grumbling. Use gifts to serve others. I want to jump to two more scripture verses as we close this morning. The first one is from John chapter 15, verses 12 to 13. And this is Jesus saying, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." You know, Jesus calls you his friend there because he laid his life down for you willingly as your friend. He gave up his life. He chose that because he knows that all of these things that are laid out in the Bible, this commandment that he gives in John that says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." We can't achieve that. Can't get close to that. We can try. We fall short all the time, but he comes right back. "I've laid my life down for you. I chose that because I love you. Earnestly, fervently, I chase after you because you're mine." And so we do. And the outpouring of that is really tied up into Matthew 28, 19 to 20. The Great Commission. And this morning, as we talk about friendship, and as we talk about what Woody does in the Toy Story movies, it all points towards one thing: sharing the gospel. And Jesus giving us that Great Commission, which is familiar to us. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Tome family, in a few days now, we'll be packing up and moving to St. Paul, Minnesota. We have accepted a call up there and look to go, therefore, and make disciples of that nation. But you know, as we go, that term in there, "go, therefore," doesn't mean always go. It means as you go, while you're going, in your daily life, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you." And I want to reflect back to you as we reflect on our 9 years here at Promise. I want to reflect back to you that friendship and those things that we talked about and how we have felt as part of this congregation. Because you see, sometimes we don't always know that we're being a friend. Sometimes we don't always know what we mean to other people. And I want to make sure that you know how God has worked through you. You've loved earnestly. You've shown hospitality without grumbling. And you've used your gifts to serve. And I want to share one story with you about how I've seen all that, particularly in our lives of the Tome family here. A few years ago, so you should know, outside of Promise, I have been allowed to serve at Concordia Lutheran High School in an administrative role. And working in an administrative role in a high school is all kinds of blessings, few challenges. All kinds of blessings, few challenges. A few years ago, we had a couple of big challenges all at once. Within 1 week's time, on an early Sunday morning, I get a phone call you don't want to get. One of our students over the weekend had been killed, actually. Lost her life. Wrong place at the wrong time. She wasn't doing anything wrong. Lost her life. Got that call on early Sunday morning. And as the team got together to prepare for how we're going to handle all this with the students, we get through the chapel service, we talk to the kids, all those kind of things. And then that afternoon, that Monday, we're all sitting down to say, okay, how did we do? What do we need to do going forward? And as we're sitting in that room, we get another phone call. And that phone call was, one of your students has been struck by a car. Running cross country, across the road, driver didn't see her. She got hit, taking her to the ER at Parkview. We're not sure if she's going to make it. We hustle up. We go over there, work with the family, work with the kids, and through that week, try to minister to the kids and the families. By that Saturday, the young lady that had passed away first, or during that week, we found out the young lady that had been in a car accident, that she was improving, thanks be to God. Felt like she was going to make it. That's great. That weekend was the funeral for the first young lady that had passed away. And at the funeral, I'm in the back. It's packed, celebrating her life. I'm in the back. It's packed, and I see a young man walk in. He's a sophomore. His name was Jaquan. Jaquan had kind of one of those smiles where you weren't really sure what he was up to all the time. You ever know a kid like that? Maybe you're like that. I don't know. But he had come from football practice, and he was bound determined to be there. Jaquan and I were in the back, and I saw him as a nice, fine young gentleman give his seat up for an older lady, and we just got talking about what this all means. Left the funeral. This is Labor Day weekend now, and just, whew, man, what a week. Get a third phone call that morning. Jaquan, the young man who I had just seen about 12 hours earlier, was in a single car accident, killed on impact. And I thought, wow, really? And as we celebrated the life of the first young lady and then worked with the family of Jaquan, ooh, that was a lot. But you know, sometimes as leaders, you got to stick in there and you got to make sure that, okay, life is, we're going to move forward. We're going to remember that Jesus isn't gone just because life is tough, that he's there, that he's the only consistency that we have. And that was a message that we taught. But as you might imagine, my heart hurt during that time. Hurt. And it was here, one Sunday morning, probably 2 weeks after that event, those events, sitting with my family. And we come up to take communion. And the band is playing In Christ Alone. You know that song? Man, I love that song. And they're singing it beautifully, using their gifts and filling me up. And we're taking communion, and I'm with my sons, I've got three of them, and my wife. And as I'm walking up to communion, I take communion, I go in the back, and I just lose it, weeping. And I thought, gosh, why? Because I'm normally pretty even keeled. And it hit me. Here, you, the congregation, God through you, has shown that love. Because I felt in this place that God was speaking to me and saying, Michael, you're going to be all right. Look who I've surrounded you with. as I'm walking my kids, no doubt, when you see things happen to other kids, you start thinking about your own kids. And God spoke to me and he said, you know what? They're going to be all right. Look at the people that have invested in them. Look at the people that have surrounded your family. The pastors that he's put in our place to uplift us during tough times, to open up the scriptures to us. And you loved earnestly. And you showed hospitality without grumbling. And you've used your gifts. And as you continue to go and make disciples, be encouraged by that. Know that God is working through you. And always remember that when Jesus says at the end of Matthew 18, 19 to 20, when he says that, and lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age, he's saying, you've got a friend in me. God's blessings to you. Thank you, promise, for all you are and for all you've done. May God continue to go with you for Jesus' sake. Amen.